What role did climate change play in setting the stage for the East Coast Frankenstorm? Joining us with the latest on the science about that is Dan Schrag. He's a professor at Harvard, where he also directs the Center for the Environment. And Dan Schrag also serves on President Obama's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology. Dan Schrag, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, David.
So climate change creates Frankenstorm would be a pretty good headline, but I'm wondering how accurate that would be.
Well, you know, I hate to sound like your normal pinheaded climate scientist.
No, please do.
But the truth is that it's always very difficult to take a broad phenomenon like climate change, which means that the Earth is warming up because we're putting too much greenhouse gas into the atmosphere, and then attributing every particular storm to it. I will say this, that we've been having a lot of really strange and extreme weather recently.
Yeah. Well, what is the latest on the science trying to look at the connection between climate and hurricanes in particular?
Well, the science of climate and hurricanes is actually in a little bit of a muddle these days because, you know, several years ago, my colleague at MIT, Carrie Emanuel, published a paper where he argued that climate change, that global warming would lead to larger storms, essentially increase the energy dissipated by storms on average. That wouldn't necessarily mean that any one storm would be bigger, but it meant that over the course of a season, you would see either a combination of more storms or more powerful storms or larger diameter storms or some combination of this. Since that time, it's a really tricky thing. It turns out that for Atlantic hurricanes, what really matters to people is whether they hit land. And so, you know, you can have lots of hurricanes that never make landfall, and we don't think it's a big deal. And, you know, this year, for example, we didn't think it was such a big hurricane year. And then along comes this monster Sandy, which by any, you know, normal hurricane scale is a pretty small hurricane. And yet the whole East Coast is in chaos.
We're talking to Harvard professor Dan Schrag about the science of climate change and big weather events like hurricanes. And I'm wondering what progress scientists have made in trying to link climate change to other kinds of major weather events, not hurricanes, but, say, droughts.
Well, so this summer we saw a pretty extreme drought. It wasn't a record drought. We'd had bigger droughts in our history. But there were some other strange weather events that were really unusual. So, you know, we actually enjoyed this in mid-March here in Boston. Last March, we had suddenly 75-degree weather. It was wonderful and warm, and it was warm across the U.S., especially in the Midwest. What people didn't realize, or maybe some people did at the time, was just how unusual it was. Temperature records were being shattered in places like Minnesota and Michigan. You know, overnight low temperatures were setting records for all-time highs. That just doesn't happen. Temperature records were being broken by 30 degrees Fahrenheit. So we had this really unusual warm spell. And again, it's hard to prove that that's actually being caused by climate change, but here's another way to look at it. If you said, what would the frequency of this kind of event normally be, the answer is it would be a 1-in-1,000-year event, or even maybe more than that. So if you actually tried to predict based on history, you'd say this event should never have happened. And yet it did. And so it's impossible to prove that it's caused by climate change. But at a certain point, you begin to say, boy, it looks pretty likely.
So in general, what can you conclude about how weather and weather events in particular are going to change in this century as a result of climate change?
Well, what we do know is this. An average, if the average climate gets warmer, the air holds more moisture and has the potential to become more extreme in a variety of different ways. So one of the big effects that you've seen in some places is more intense rainfall. And that is a predicted consequence of climate change. As the Earth warms, the air holds more water, and so when you have a big storm event, it rains more quickly. We saw that, for example, in Minnesota this summer, where you had that huge flood in Duluth. You know, incredible amount of rain where the polar bear escaped from its cage because the entire zoo flooded. The other predictable thing is actually on the other end, as you said, about droughts, where you actually, one of the consequences of climate change is that we've started to see the soil moisture drying out. The reason is that as the temperature gets hotter, the way plants respond is they try to cool off, and the way they cool off is they evaporate more water. And when you do that, the soil moisture dries out. And when the soil dries out, it turns out that the plants can no longer evaporate as much, and you can amplify the heat waves. And that's what happened in some places this summer. You know, in Kansas in July, it was 115 degrees Fahrenheit. People couldn't go out on their farms because they couldn't actually touch their tractors. They were too hot. They would get scalded. That's pretty extreme.
All right, Dan Schrag, thanks for taking the time to share some of what you know with people out here in Seattle.
Enjoy. I'm glad you're not suffering through the storm we have now.
Dan Schrag is a geology professor at Harvard, where he also directs the Center for the Environment, and he also serves on President Obama's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology.